Hey, welcome to Off the Chain with Dave and Steele. This week we're excited. We got an extra guest here, Jordan.
Hi, everybody.
Jordan's one of our good friends.
Jordan's actually responsible for our intro and outro theme music. So thank you, Dr. Quasar.
My pleasure.
So this week on this episode, we got a few segments we're going to talk about. We're going to do some small talk, things you can talk to other people about and kind of make them think you're more intelligent than you really are. We're going to take a couple questions for Ask Off the Chain. We've got a special segment here because Jordan is with us today. There are few people that love Vin Diesel as much as I do, but I think Jordan may even love him more. So we've got a segment, Diesel, running on gas. And we're going to close up with Unchained Melodies. We've got a few songs that we want you to check out. And of course, as always, we're going to finish with some wisdom for you. So we're going to start with small talk. Remember, the idea here is I don't know what to say to people. I'm socially uncomfortable, so I like to go into any social situation armed with stuff to say.
Dave, your last small talk paid off for me big time. Went to a social gathering, shared a couple stories, just left. People were like, that guy, it's interesting. Tantalized him.
Oh, I can't. That's wonderful, Steele. It's already paying off.
Mm-hmm.
Hey Jordan, have you ever tried this kind of strategy?
You know, Dave, I think I asked you about this one time on Nurse Dave, and you told me to do this, and I have employed it. It works great. It makes it so much easier for me.
Oh boy, there's definitely dates that I went on that would never have happened unless, like, I showed this girl that I was super cool because of something I heard on a podcast. So the first thing that I'm going to bring up is I was just on Yahoo and they were talking to this guy that was a dumpster diver. And he said that from dumpster diving, he can bring in $2,500 a night from dumpster diving.
Well, a night?
I believe it.
This is not grocery store dumpster diving, clearly.
Where does he live?
He lives in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
He dumpster dives at like places that have electronics. This guy, he's an IT dude, so he'll go in to the dumpster and he'll find like a perfectly working electronic gadget that maybe needs one repair or something, and then he'll sell it. And he says that he every night he goes dumpster diving, he brings in about $2,000 worth of revenue, which is way better than any dumpster diving experience I've ever had.
I will say that's more money than I've ever brought in. But I've had some pretty good dumpster diving experiences. One of my best winter coats was a dumpster find.
So, really?
Yeah. My dad's got it now. He loves it.
Where did you dive to find this coat?
I was just in the dumpster outside my house. It was close to the top, so I didn't have to go in deep. But, yeah, I've taken clothes out of it. I've got these awesome – they're kind of like capri pant pirate pants. They're about mid-shin. One of my old Chinese neighbors was throwing them out when he was leaving, and I was like, I'll take those, and I wear them, like, to relax. Now, they're awesome.
Jordan, have you ever dumpster dived before?
Of course.
What kind of stuff have you gotten?
Mostly furniture. You know, our end tables from the dumpster. You just clean it up, paint it a lot of times, and it's, you know, looks great, good as new.
We got an end table right next to me holding our printer down in the dumpster.
Yeah, when I was in college, I did it a lot more. I'd get, like, electronic parts and stuff. But I never used them for anything worth speaking about.
Just as a word of warning for our listeners as well, if it's got cloth material and you live in a large city, beware of bed bugs. I mean, they're not immediately visible, but that's one of the downsides of dumpster diving.
That's the sort of thing that terrifies my wife. I can't bring home stuff from a dumpster. She's not going to. With our recent rat friend stopping by to visit, she doesn't want any outside stuff. I'd say most of my dumpster diving experiences are just getting food. I remember like the most ridiculous one I ever did, we got like several garbage bag fulls of donuts, and we just gorged on dumpster donuts and then fed the rest to the ducks, which like, can't be good for a duck.
Maybe a little too good for those ducks, I would say.
So I just thought it was interesting that this guy And he claims he could make a living, but he chooses not to because he enjoys his IT job, which was the least believable part of the article for me.
No kidding. That sounds like one of those, I could do this if I want to. That's IT professional to the max.
What about you, Steele? What do you got for us this week?
This is probably my favorite news story. I'm sure you guys have been following it very closely. News out of Mongolia. A mummified monk was found preserved last week. It has both baffled and astounded those who uncovered him, says the BBC. Here's the situation. This monk's a couple hundred years old. He was found sitting in the lotus position in bright orange robes and appeared to be dead to most Western observers. However, this is the big news. Senior Buddhists are claiming that the monk is not actually dead. He's actually in a deep meditative trance, a rare state known as tukdam. Dr. Barry Curzon, who's a physician to the Dalai Lama, is the one who told the Siberian Times that he was actually in tukdam rather than dead. And this is the kind of interesting part. He was discovered after being stolen by a man who was hoping to sell him on the black market.
Wow.
Yeah, I've heard you go to San Diego. That's where you can get into that sort of thing.
The other couple parts of the story that are interesting, they don't know who the monk was or is, depending on how you interpret it. But there is some speculation out there, guys. You'll probably recognize this name. He might have been the teacher of Lama Dashi Dorzo Itgalav, who was also found mummified. So,
okay.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole chain of those guys.
Yeah, so it could have been Dashi Dorzo's teacher.
So do they think that this guy just kept meditating? I wonder what his cause of death would be.
He's not dead, though, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
So we know about Itgalav, we don't know. He was from a region that was then part of the Soviet Union. In 1927, the word was he told his students that he was going to die and they should exhume his body in 30 years. So he sat in the lotus position, he began meditating, and then he died. They dug him up 30 years later, and his body was still preserved.
Creepy.
So I think this stuff's incredible. I mean, the meditative practice, helping you think about it, control, and become mindful of the body. It's amazing.
It makes me think I should start meditating.
Yeah. It's your only chance to make it on a BBC News, Dave.
Either that or like streak at a football match. That's got to be the only two ways. So Dumpster Diving Pro and the Mummified Monk, we'll put up links to both of these stories on the website just so you can check them out if you have a little bit more inquiry to make regarding these.
Sure.
But Jordan, I know, has a very interesting subject for us today.
Yeah, it's something I think is off the chain. It's actually a YouTube channel. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
Most of our listeners have heard of YouTube.
Yeah, it's a website. You can go to it, youtube.com.
Is this internet-based?
It's internet-based, yeah. The channel's Jimmy Diresta, D-I-R-E-S-T-A, and he used to have a show on the Discovery Channel called Dirty Money. They live in New York. What they do is they go around, they pull things out of dumpsters and stuff, and then this guy, Jimmy Diresta, takes it and just turns it into these amazing, gorgeous things. So he'll turn them into, like, benches, you know, dresser tables, lamps, just gorgeous things. So anyway, he has this YouTube channel where he makes things. He's a maker. He has a series of videos for Make Magazine, too. But he makes just all kinds of stuff. And the way the videos are is there's no, you know, description of what's going on. There's no talking. There's no narration. It's just him. And the tape is sped up very quickly, you know, close in up on whatever he's doing. And it's sped up. And it's just him making stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so the first video I saw, he has like 70 videos, and I've watched them all. And they're just so great. They're just mesmerizing to watch him work. The first one is he makes a hatchet handle out of a piece of solid block aluminum.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just nuts because he doesn't, you know, it's freehand carves it. And just watching him carve this aluminum on a bandsaw and shape it on a bandsaw is just mind-boggling that he has all his fingers. Because he just...
Cutting metal with metal.
Oh,
dangerous.
Well, yeah, that's how you do it. But, yeah, it's amazing to watch him do this, and he makes this beautiful aluminum hatchet handle. He's made these beautiful tables out of, like, old cars, you know, just all kinds of stuff that he makes. and takes these things that would be garbage or pieces of whatever and turns them into gorgeous pieces of art.
It makes me wonder whether that guy who dug up the meditating monk was thinking about selling it to old Jimmy Durante. Just imagine what he could have made.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I like about it is, I mean, the video tells you what he's making, but he, you know, since there's no narration, you don't know what part of it he's working on. So it's kind of fun to watch him put it together.
You're puzzling out what the thing is. Yeah,
right.
That's great.
Now, which part of it is he making now? You know, and the last thing he made was a carrying case for his Leatherman. It looks like a hand holding the Leatherman. And then he welded on a Tonto blade onto his Leatherman too, so it would be a big knife as well. And it's just really cool. He mostly works in wood, steel, and brass. He finds this old printing press, this like printing press from the 1860s or whatever. It's frozen. And over a series of videos, he restores it, gets it all back working again, and then prints with it. And it's just amazing to see that old technology work again.
Remind us of his name again.
Jimmy Diresta, JimmyDiresta. But yeah, the YouTube channel, I just love watching. It's just, you know, late at night when the baby's up, put that on. It kind of makes white noise because all the sound, you know, the sound of his saws and things running is all sped up. So it helps him, the baby, fall asleep, and then it's mesmerizing.
So has it inspired you to do anything? Have you made anything weird since meeting Jimmy Diresta?
I have not made anything, but I did fix one of our kitchen chairs that was squeaky with clamps and wood glue.
All right.
But no, I've been itching to try to make something. We just don't have a lot of space.
See, my wife would love it if I watched Jimmy Diresta and it inspired me to do something. But anytime I have free time, I don't ever want to invest it in anything that could be remotely practical. I instead want to read like a comic book or talk to my friends on the internet about watching videos about someone else making stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to devote your free time to escaping your actual life, not improving it.
Yeah,
exactly. These people that actually like want to build stuff, it's so misguided.
Well, what's fun too is his shop is in this basement under a tenement in like the east side of New York. So there's like these two big metal like diamond plate grates, you know, just in the sidewalk. And then they just open up and there's stairs and you go down the stairs and you're into his shop.
Well, that's cool. So maybe pick one of the videos that you think is awesome, and we'll throw it up on the site so people can find Jimmy Diresta.
Yeah, His hatchet handle.
Who doesn't want to see metal cut by metal? That is exciting. So steel.
Yeah, man.
We're still getting questions. People still want to ask us questions.
Yeah, the mailbox is stuffed. If you have a question, of course, we'll always take more. Visit our website at otc.awesomecity.org. You can submit a question, ask off the chain, and love to read it on the air. I've got one for you today, Dave. This one is from D. Pringle from upstate New York. He says, "Hey guys, love the pod. I'm a college student, and I'm taking a large lecture class where the teacher has banned all electronic devices. The problem is the lecturer is horrifically boring and ends up just reading their slides, which they post online after every class anyway. Since I can't browse my computer and do something useful and fun, like listen to your show, I feel like I don't know what to do for the hours I'm a captive in this course. What can I do to make this time more off the chain? Any ideas?"
I think he just described my entire college career. So I have a lot of ideas.
There was this girl in one of my classes in law school. She sat in front of me, and just the whole time during class, she would just play World of Warcraft on her computer.
Summa cum laude.
She was, actually.
Yeah.
During my one semester in law school, I wrote multiple short stories during class, but it did not end as well for me as that girl.
No. Well, you know, doodling.
That's the number one. That's got to be your go-to. Doodle. You could take it to the next level. You can draw cartoons. Lots of times what I like to do, particularly in a long, boring lecture, is draw cartoons featuring animals that not only are adorable, but I like it to turn out to be like a fable that teaches a moral, such as this beaver spent too much of his money and he should have been wise like this mouse and saved for the future. I spent a lot of time making animals teach me lessons by drawing them in class.
That sounds great, because I'm imagining you're like two-thirds of the way back. Looks like you're just studiously writing notes. The teacher looks up and sees you and says, "That's one kid. My lectures are making a difference." But really, you're just improving your own life with moral instruction.
And then, you know, you show them to the person next to you, and usually it's pretty alienating to them. They're like, what is going on? Like, why are those turtles doing that? And why are you doing this during class? But it doesn't matter, because it's about your time and making the best use of what you want to do, D. Pringle.
Another doodle strategy I've employed is if you use notebook paper that has graph lines on it. So because you have the little squares, one way of doodling is to do a lot of repeating geometric shapes. That's pleasing. You know, when you fill a whole page with a repeating geometric shape, it gives you a sense of accomplishment.
I like that one, Jordan, because I'm not a talented with representational art, I think, as Dave is, but I like doing shapes and patterns and stuff. I could do that. Either of you have examples of these doodles you'd be willing to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I'll post something. I've got lots of stories that I've drawn while I should have been taking notes.
Yeah, I can look and see in some old notebooks if I still have them.
All right, D. Pringle, your life's about to get a bit better.
I think that's all we got for this week. So
That's
feel
all we're
free
going to
to
share on the air. There's plenty of
yeah.
room next week for more questions, though. Send them on in.
Hey, we love to think about things that you're thinking about. So I'm probably the most excited I've ever been about a segment about this next segment, diesel running on gas.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if either of you have read what I wrote on the website about why Off the Chain got started. Have either of you guys read that?
I sure did.
I believe I did, but refresh my memory.
Well, I watched a film not that long ago called Riddick, and I couldn't stop discussing this with everyone. My wife ended up telling me, like, Dave, you've got to stop talking about Riddick. But I couldn't help it. I was so excited about it. Everyone I saw got to learn about Riddick, and me and Jordan are actually going to discuss it a little bit right now.
That sounds wonderful.
So
I've got theories, Dave, theories. Okay, imagine this in Vin Diesel's low, growly voice. This is the voiceover at the beginning of Riddick. He says, "Don't know how many times I've been crossed off the list and left for dead. Guess when it first happens the day you were born, you're going to lose count. So this ain't nothing new." Because if you recall, what's just happened is Riddick has been abandoned on a planet he believes to be deserted. Well, it's basically deserted. It's a deserted planet, and he's left there all alone, and that's the impetus. That's the beginning.
And he's left. The problem is, it's not that it just dropped him off, but they friggin' blew him up off of a cliff. So not only is he left on this planet, but he's injured, Jordan. He
That's
has a
true.
broken leg. And I've told several medical doctors about what he does to fix his leg. Like, I literally have. And they
Like,
all
as
agree that.
advising them, you're just saying, like, hey, next time you see a broken leg, have you considered this?
I tell them, like, hey, this might be a way to do it. So his leg's broken. So he has to do two things. One, he's got to set the bone.
Yes,
And
yes.
two, he's got to make a cast. So one, you set the leg, you stick it between a couple rocks, and you just jerk your leg until it's set back in place. You can only do this if you're Vin Diesel or possibly The Rock. Those are the only two people that could possibly do it.
That's true.
Do you remember how he makes a cast?
I think he used. Doesn't he get a bone from something?
Even
I don't
better,
remember.
it's his space armor, and he just take. I think he takes the part off of his forearms because you've always got armor on your forearm.
All right,
He
yeah.
wraps it around his leg, but the problem is like it's gonna fall off. What does he do? Like he didn't wrap it quite tight enough. Even Vin Diesel can't like wrap metal to where it's not gonna fall off. He takes two screws that he happens to have,
All
and he screws them through the metal, through his skin, into his bone. He does surgery on himself, Solomon. Dr. Magoda was impressed when I told him this. He was blown away.
He's like, you've got a future in the emergency room, Dave.
You do have to remember, though, that in these series of movies, Riddick is from. He's the last of a specific race of aliens.
Oh, yeah.
It's called the Furians, who are known to have, exceptional strength, speed, stamina, and all that stuff.
Actually, some people have theorized that that is actually literally what Vin Diesel is.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It's his first movie role where he wasn't acting.
It would explain why he doesn't age.
So that's one of my favorite aspects. Anytime in any action movie where the main character has to do surgery on himself just because he's tough enough to do it, I really like that. What else did you get from it, Jordan?
Well, it just seems to me like it's an allegory. I guess is that the right? I don't know if that's the right word. Basically, of man. You know, he's stuck in this hostile environment. His only friend in the world is his dog. He's got to fight through. He reaches a point, a plateau. He can't get past. He's got to figure out a way outsmart that creature that lives in the water.
Which is the second time he practices medicine in the film.
Right, and once he gets by that, it's still not over. Now he's got to figure out how to move on to the next level.
It sounds to me like, Dave, you would love if this film was just the med school curriculum and like do away with class. Just watch this movie. This guy's practicing medicine throughout.
I think America would be grateful because, you know, we need to take some chances. Like, what are you going to do if there's a poisonous creature that wants to bite you? Obviously, you inoculate yourself
Right.
with small portions of that creature's venom.
Exactly. You develop an immunity. I mean, and I think that's apropos given the current issues about vaccination.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could call the course Healthcare for Furians.
The other thing I think is it's
500
got a
level.
lesson for politicians in it is in the movie, Riddick does exactly what he says he's going to do. There's a point where he's been captured, he's tied up by these mercenaries, and he tells one of these mercenaries exactly what he's going to do. He says, "I'm going to do A, then I'm going to do B, then I'm going to do C, and I'm going to do it in like 10 seconds." They're laughing, "You know, you're going to do that when you're tied up." I think you remember what happens next, Dave.
I don't remember how he gets a hold of the little sword machete thing because his hands are tied up. He's only got one option to do it.
Well, if I remember correctly, I think he kicks it up into the air or something, and it sticks into a board. And then he maneuvers somehow, and then when it falls loose out of the board, then he's able to kick it, and it swings around, and then, you know, it chops the guy's head in half.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, you know, one of the things he says, "And then she's gonna fall in love with me," or whatever. She's like, pff, But by the end of the movie, Battlestar Galactica's Starbuck is madly in love with him.
Of course she, like the moment she shows up, you're like, there's no way she's not going to be super attracted to Vin Diesel's just sexual charisma. Like, and you
Sure.
know it's happening.
Wait, so she sees him cut half of a dude's head off and she's like, this is the guy for me?
That is the moment and literally in the film when they're like there's a twinkle in her eye where her attitude towards Vin Diesel changes right
It's
after
true.
he kills that
To be fair, she did not like that guy very much. But yeah,
That's
that is
pretty
the part.
intense. That's a
That's the
little
part
more
when
intense.
she sees changes and sees him as a possible romantic interest.
Wow.
But one other aspect of the film, like Jordan talked about his journey, is the first, I don't know, 30 to even 40 minutes is essentially a silent film with a little bit of narration where it's just Vin Diesel and the alien dog that he tames. So just like their friendship that buds in those 30 minutes is it's beautiful.
It is.
Riddick, is that his first or last name?
Yes.
Oh, it's just Riddick.
Yeah, he's just Riddick. What? So he's a Fury, and he also
Is
at
it
some
short for
point.
ridiculous? Is it like a slang expression? Dude, that's ridic. Or no?
No.
No,
I was hoping it would be.
he probably would have killed you for saying that, for suggesting
I'll mute my mic then.
it. So what he has to do is he's trying to get off this world. And the only people that ever come to this world are like bounty hunters just making a pit stop. They're hiding or whatever. So he finds a bounty hunter hangout. Because he's Vin Diesel and he's Riddick, there's a huge bounty on his head just for whatever reason. He's probably killed thousands of people. So he sends out a message basically like, "Hey, I'm here. Come get
Yep,
me."
exactly. So then, of course, the two different bounty ships land, you know, two different bounty hunter ships land, two different styles of doing things, you know, one very organized, the other kind of more rough and tumble. And so, you know, they both know that the whole point that he's called them there is so he can steal one of their ships. So they're going to try to stop him from doing that. Of course, they can't.
No, it's very futile. The thing is, like those two groups of bounty hunters don't even provide enough of a like fight for Riddick. Like you know he's just gonna kill all of them. It's not really an issue. You don't feel all that tense about it because like he's gonna kill these people, but there's a second thing that happens, Jordan.
I know. Now, Dave, this is a question I have that I don't know the answer to. Is this the same planet he was marooned on in Pitch Black? Because the next thing that happens is, so with the darkness that comes on this planet, also come these horrible alien creatures that only can live in the dark, which was basically the plot of Pitch Black.
No,
it was like Pitch Black again for like the last 15, I don't know. Was it the same?
You're missing the subtle difference. In Pitch Black, it was darkness. In this, it was darkness plus, I believe, a rainstorm.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't sure whether the rainstorm was essential or not.
The rainstorm is essential. These creatures need the water in order to be able to terrify the entire planet.
Ah.
So he's dealing with these bounty hunters. Like, yeah, he's going to be able to kill them. But the thing is, he's now got a time constraint. He has to kill them within a certain amount of time in order to be able to get their spaceship and get off the planet.
This unstoppable horde of unstoppable alien beasts that only live in darkness and thunderstorms are coming towards them at a rapid pace.
Unfortunately, Stillman, this is the third film in... I don't even think it's a trilogy, because that would infer that it's over. I don't think it needs to end.
No, it's not over.
So there isn't really a time constraint as far as film goes, but you don't want this alien creature horde to destroy you.
You know how our babies must feel when they don't have language yet and they just hear everybody using words and they don't know what anything means? That's exactly what I'm feeling right now, guys. As you're talking about this in movies, I love it. It's like a foreign language.
Well, I think the next movie is going to be Riddick needs to go get revenge on that necromancer dude, the Carl Urban character.
Yes. Yeah, he needs to kill him.
That has to happen.
So
we got to have another one where we talk about Carl Urban.
I have no issue with that. Big Carl Urban fan. I still need to see Dredd, though.
But, so good. Way better than the Stallone Dredd.
Anytime you're using the phrase way better than Stallone, I don't know if that's possible that I could agree with that ever, but I'll give it a go.
You got it. It's better.
So, yeah, we don't want to ruin the film, but basically it's super exciting. Vin Diesel is amazing. No one else could have played this character. And when you talk about acting, you don't have to talk about it with this film because he's just playing Vin Diesel. Like, he can do all these things. From what I understand, the special effects budget was very, very small, so Diesel just had to take care of all of it on his own. My question, Jordan, is who watches these movies with you? Are you watching this by yourself, or is your wife on board?
I watched Riddick by myself.
Yeah.
That makes it so much better when I hear that admission. I love that.
Well, if I'm entirely honest, I watched it by myself over a series of, what would you call them? Restroom stops.
See, this is the theme that unites all of our episodes. Forget toilet reading, Dave. It's Toilet Chronicles of Riddick viewing. That's the real answer.
It probably is an ideal location. I think I made my wife watch this with me, but she... Yeah, she pretty much just went on Facebook, and I kept, like, poking her and being like, look, they just killed his dog! Look, he's going to take him out now!
So here's a question I have for you guys. Yeah. As you're watching these films, you were saying, like, Dave, the ships show up, and you know that he's going to kill all these people and he's going to win. For you, as you're watching the movie, is there any feeling of suspense, like his fate is in the balance? Or is the thrill of the film knowing that he's going to win and finding out how? What's the psychological interest for you in these?
Yeah, I guess you know he's going to win, and there's.
Do you
a
ever
comfort.
Feel like he's imperiled, or no?
They want you to feel like he's in peril, but it's a safe peril because you know he's going to be okay, and I think there's something comforting about that. Like, Vin Diesel is my hero in this film. He's going to go through some terrible things, but he's coming out on top. It's like any of the Rocky movies. It's the same thing. You knew Rocky's going to knock the dude out. Even if Mr. T knocked him out the first time, Rocky's going to come back. And there's something comforting. And just when he finally does it, when Vin Diesel finally, you know, kills the guy that killed his dog, like, it's very satisfying.
That's true.
So for me, I think I have a maybe opposite impulse. I like the Game of Thrones books a lot, and I like them because anyone can die at any time. I'm like, yeah, this is real life. I'm like, you have a title character? Could be dead. Like Chronicles of Riddick, if the film could end with Riddick just dead and ruined, then I'd be like, yeah, that's interesting art. That's possible.
But
Isn't that terrible?
no,
That's
it's
a
not true.
totally different genre. Like
It's true.
this is an action film.
But what about an action film where the action heroes die or they aren't the
That
heroes? They're the action attempters.
happens sometimes.
Do people enjoy it? It feels like it would satisfy very different impulses. It would infuriate rather than
Well,
like comfort.
it depends, because you have to remember there are a lot of there are different tropes in action movies. So like the best friend dying, that happens, you know. You know, if it's a war movie, then your main character may be killed.
Yeah.
But that's not the purpose of most of these kind of movies. If it's a Vin Diesel movie, Vin Diesel's not gonna die.
He's gonna
And going
change.
into the movie, like, you know Vin Diesel's not gonna die. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose is the spectacle, kind of the ride, and like, I don't even know it. I hope Vin Diesel's kind of in on the joke to a certain extent. Like the fact that he could kick a sword and make a guy's head come off, that's really funny.
Yeah.
So there's an aspect of ironic enjoyment in this for you too, or
I'd
no?
say almost wholly. You can't take, you're not taking this seriously. It's just awesome.
Yeah. There's, I mean, with anything, even Game of Thrones, you know, there's an element of suspended
Suspended
reality,
reality.
and it's just
It's
how
just
much
how
are you
much are you
willing to
willing to
suspend?
suspend? Very well put, Jordan. So I guess Diesel he's a hero for our age, you know? He's my Rocky. I know that he's gonna come through for me every time he hits the screen. Like, he's gonna win, and he's gonna win in some way that's gonna make me jump out of my seat and like stick my fist in the air and say, yeah. I can't think of a Vin Diesel movie I've seen in the past like 6 years where I didn't shout out yeah at some point. And that's thank you, Vin. That's really what this segment's about, is just thanking Vin Diesel for his work and what he does for all of us.
Yeah, amen. But basically, what I'm saying is, Steel is, I don't unironically like. I actually genuinely enjoy it.
Well, that's great. That's what makes something off the chain when you have that sincere love of a thing. And I'm glad Vin Diesel's that for you guys. I'd love to hear the next segment and learn more about the Church of Vin.
Yeah, just buckle your safety belt because it's gonna be good. So we're gonna finish off with a couple segments that we do regularly. We got some songs for you that we want to share. This is a regular segment we call Unchained Melodies for songs and artists we think are off the chain. What do you got for us, Steele?
Okay, so the first song that I've got here, this is a group called Daka Braka. I believe they're Ukrainian. I don't know very much about them, but one of my wife's friends sent us this clip and shared it with us. This is a song called Baby, and it's really interesting in instrumentation, really interesting male vocalist, and the three musicians, people playing instruments, are these women who wear very, very tall, I think, fur hats. They're like 2 feet tall. So really eccentric, strange looking. And great, great music. This is Baby by Daka Braka. Seven and a half minutes of that. That's just a taste.
Oh, man.
I don't think there's very many more lyrics than the ones that you heard, but it's off the chain. Love that song.
Yeah.
I have a huge grin on my face right now, Steele. That's what's more off the chain than making me just have a giant smile? So I think Jordan's got some songs for us as well. What's one of the ones
Yeah.
you have?
Okay, so the first one is I would call it progressive metal. It's by a group called Animals as Leaders. But the two guitar players both play 8-string guitars. And they're led by a guy named Tosin Abasi. I think he's a graduate of like the Georgia Musical Institute or something like that. So they're
Georgia,
all like
USA, or Georgia, the country?
Georgia, the United States, the state
Okay.
of Georgia. I think they're all like classically trained jazz musicians. So this is it's progressive metal, so it's a little different from what we've heard on the show so far. The song is called Lippincott.
This is
I like it.
Animals as Leaders.
Why is this off the chain to you, Jordan? What's exciting about it?
Dave, didn't you just listen to that clip, man? How can you ask
Hello?
that question?
I rescind my question. It's taken back. I forget what I just said.
Jordan, are you there?
Wait, so the song just knocked you out, Jordan? Is that what
I think that clip might have killed him, Dave.
happened? He's sitting in Vegas with a cheeseburger, just he's well, he's probably meditating like that monk.
Hey Dave, you've got a song. Speaking of progressive metal.
So Steele, you talk about dance parties at your house, and we have them at my house from time to time as well. I have three little girls they're all 2 years old, so that would make them triplets, Steele. This is true. This is not made up. So if you could imagine three little girls going, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, dunda! This is AC/DC Thunderstruck. Can't keep time still, so my thunder is always a little bit off. Oh
Yeah, so the official video, I've never seen this. Helicopters blowing stuff up with rockets.
The other videos, they're just playing. It's just them playing in front of an awesome crowd, and the lead guitarist, just his, I don't even like, it's a shuffle that he does across the stage is amazing. I want to be able to do that shuffle. Oh, I just love it. Yeah, anytime I play a song, like you get thumbs down, they'll start just yelling, "No, Daddy, no!" But the first time I played AC/DC, like everybody was just stoked. Like, wow. If you haven't listened to Thunderstruck for a while, or if you've never heard it, like just just go listen to it right now. Do yourself a favor. It's fantastic. And if you're a 2-year-old girl, it is probably one of your favorite songs.
Dave, do you have any audio of your girl singing along to this? Because that would be great.
I don't. I really need it. But when they get excited about it, like, we'll just be driving around in the van going to the grocery store or something, and there won't be any music on, but they'll just be girls going, "Thunder!"
You know what? I bet if, like, Angus from AC/DC knew that, he would be so angry. 2-year-old girls are really into his music. Probably just piss him off so much.
The first song from AC/DC I ever played him was Dirty Deeds, which fantastic song, and the girls loved it. But as they were listening to it, I was like, should I really be playing this song for 2-year-old girls?
Yeah.
Or the answer is yes.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So Jordan, you're back with us. I think you got another song, right?
Sure. This is in a different vein. This is Liam Bailey. I think he's from the UK. Anyway, this song's like, I don't know what you call it, neo-soul, R&B, something like that. It's called Stun Me. His vocals are awesome.
I need to know this, my love. I need to understand the meaning of your words. I need to know you when you're alone. I need to pull the stars around and draw you close. But you came and took my world away, and now I'm here in a million miles of space, saying, look how it's done me now, look how it's done me now, look how it's done me now, done.
That's smooth. I haven't listened to a word he said. I just listened to his voice. It's just smooth.
Yeah, it was the same way.
Yeah, he's amazing. And the chorus is great. The album's pretty good. I think it's called Definitely Now.
That sounds great, Jordan. I like that kind of driving drums. You know, it just kept... I wanted the next beat, the next beat, the next beat. It just kept moving me through the song. I enjoyed that. That's smooth.
Yeah, he's a great singer.
Well, guys, I got another great one to go out on. The last Unchained Melody for me. This is a group of Tuvan throat singers from Mongolia, the Alash Ensemble. And I don't know the name of the song. I think it's Bashtak, but it's supposed to be very funny about how the guy's a joker. And this is an otherworldly sound. These guys are really cool. They do something I think that's called fast talking while they're doing the song. Here we go. This is Alash Ensemble, and the song is Bashtak. Bashtak joke, right?
Yeah.
We're all laughing along.
That kind of singing always reminds me of a jaw harp.
Yeah. It's incredible that that's the human voice.
I have literally never heard, I've never heard throat singing before, and it was jarring. The first moment, like, I was startled. It's like, whoa, wait, what's happening?
Right. It sounds like it's processed or it's some kind of effect, but that's the sound, just natural coming out of his mouth and body. So there you go.
Yeah, give the chains. All right. So, Steele, you're gonna take us out this evening on some book wisdom, right?
I am. This is very much in the vein of our monk that we met earlier. This is from a Buddhist classic. This is a book my wife had on our bookshelf, and I read it last year and loved it. It's from a Buddhist monk named Shantideva, and the book is A Guide to the Bodhisattva Way of Life. And here's the passage. Shantideva writes, "Let my possessions freely vanish. Let my honor, my body, livelihood, and everything else pass away. But may my virtuous mind never be lost." In brief, this alone is the definition of introspection: the repeated examination of the state of one's body and mind. I shall practice it with my body. What is the use of merely reading the words? Will a sick person have any benefit merely by reading about medical treatments? One should first earnestly meditate on the equality of oneself and others in this way: all equally experience suffering and happiness, and I must protect them as I do myself. Although my suffering does not cause pain in other bodies, nevertheless, that suffering is mine, and it's difficult to bear because of my attachment to myself. Likewise, although I myself do not feel the suffering of another person, that suffering belongs to that person, and is difficult to bear because of his attachment to himself. I should eliminate the suffering of others because it is suffering, just like my own suffering. I should take care of others because they are sentient beings, just as I am a sentient being. When happiness is equally dear to others and myself, then what is so special about me that I strive after happiness for myself alone? Why do I not also consider another's body as myself in the same way, since the otherness of my own body is not difficult to determine? Just as the hands and the like are cherished because they are members of the body, why are embodied beings not cherished in the same way, for they are members of the world? Therefore, just as you wish to protect yourself from pain, grief, and the like, so may you cultivate a spirit of protection and a spirit of compassion toward the world. One who wishes to protect oneself and others quickly should practice exchanging oneself for others, which is a great mystery. O mind, make this resolve: I am bound to others. From now on, you must not be concerned with anything but the welfare of all sentient beings." That's Shantideva.
Wow.
That's beautiful. Sentient beings, so that he would be inclusive of an alien race as well, which I appreciate.
Yeah, that was Chronicles of Riddick. We tied it all together.
That's great.
Yeah.
No, it is great. I hope that we can help other people, alleviate other people's suffering, even though some may have suffered as we discussed Riddick today. Hopefully some did not. All right. Well, I think it's time to wrap it up. Thank you for listening. Jordan, thanks for talking with us. You know I love to talk Vin Diesel.
Oh, my pleasure.
And thanks again, Steele, and we'll be back at you guys next week with some more off-the-chain stuff.
Thanks, Jordan. We love you.
Thanks. Love you guys, too. Take it easy.
Off the Chain.